Welcome back to another episode of Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. This is episode 273, and I am who I am.
I am Jason Isaacs, and I am from Harry Potter.
I'm Daniel, and I wish I had gotten the letter to Hogwarts when I was 11.
I'm Doug, and I am what I am, and that's all that I am.
Rene Descartes style.
So, guys, have you ever got to a point that you forgot to finish a show? Like, you just forgot? You had what episode left?
We're missing somebody.
He's not here.
Yes, he is.
He's back?
He's live action. He's not animated.
But he's muted.
Oh.
Who is the fifth person?
Announce yourself, sir.
Is he not talking in this episode? Oh.
Sorry.
I'm like, I can see.
I was a little busy. Sorry. It's called family.
I was just stating, have you ever missed a show and you had one episode less and you forgot to watch it?
Yes.
Yes.
Me with WandaVision. I still have two left.
Okay. No, but I've done it intentionally. I'd never wanted the show to end, so I haven't watched the last two episodes.
Oh, so Game of Thrones.
No, it was another HBO show. Eastbound and Down.
You've never watched the last two.
I never watched the last two. I want Kenny Powers out there forever in perpetuity.
Do you plan on watching the last two at some point in your life?
Maybe. Honestly, at this point, I don't know.
Okay, well, mine's Invincible. It's been like, how many weeks has it been off? I just forgot. So I started today because I worked today and I had a golf game, which is fine. So I came home, went in my pool for a bit, and came out, dried off, said, oh, I have 20 minutes where I have to leave. I might as well put on Invincible. Oh, my God. Friggin' amazing, the 20 minutes I watched. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm really pissed that I went and played golf. I came home and had dinner. I still haven't finished. So tomorrow I'll finally finish Invincible. And also I'm getting really excited because I'm finally made getting through all this crap that I have picked up at sales over the years. So do you guys maybe can help me? Is it just me that I watch just so many garbage movies in a row? And I mean, when I find a good one, I get all happy? Or is this the same for everybody?
Just you.
I mean, yeah, I feel that. You can get in a rut and then sometimes a movie can seem better because you've watched so many bad ones lately.
Yeah, I agree. I've seen a lot of bad movies recently, and then I watched a good one the other day, and I was like, it's probably not even that great of a movie, but I was like ecstatic at how much I liked it.
Okay.
I've watched a lot of like classic films, so I haven't watched a lot of bad movies, but sometimes when you're just streaming late at night, going through, I think Amazon Prime, they have so many old, I'd say schlocky horror films that you just put on to fall asleep to, and yeah, I've seen a lot of those bad films.
Sorry, Doug, is this your list, right?
Yes,
I have to thank you for a couple of them.
Oh, really?
I've never like Day of the Dolphin. I've never seen it, and this was the first time I saw it, so I have to thank you. I know we're not to it yet, but I just have to thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
The premature.
Sorry, I know we're not there yet.
Okay. Anything else? You guys aren't going to bring anything, so I might as well just move along, right?
Have you watched Host?
Fuck, no, I didn't forget. I knew it was on my list. I promise you, I'll get that.
And also, all of us have our first vaccine shots now, because I got mine 2 weeks ago.
Sorry, you left the house?
Sorry?
You left the house?
Oh, yeah. I leave the house a couple times a week.
Are you sure about that?
Maybe once, at least once.
Okay, once I'll give you.
I'm not Amy Adams.
Well, did you have remorse about getting your shot?
No, I went without remorse about it. Tom Clancy's without remorse about it. Directed by Stefano Solima, written by Taylor Sheridan and Will Staples, based on the book Without Remorse by Tom Clancy, starring Michael B. Jordan, Jamie Bell, Jodie Turner-Smith, Luke Mitchell, Jack Kessie, Brett Gelman, Lauren London, Coleman Domingo, and Guy Pearce.
Oh, yeah, Guy Pearce was in this. Mm-hmm. Guy Pearce is like the everyman. You're like, I'm watching Mayor of Eastwick. There is Guy Pearce just randomly shows up for a while. Okay. I'll watch another movie. There's Guy Pearce again, shopping in the store for 30 seconds. Like, he's just the everyman.
Really? I thought chances are he's the bad guy when he appears. He's usually the villain.
I was about to say.
Mayor of Eastwick, he's not.
His appearance here was a spoiler in itself almost. It's like, okay, you're not casting. No, not that. I mean, him being cast in Without Remorse, it's like, okay, you're not casting him to not have him be the reveal at the end, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So, Without Remorse, I mean, I want to start here.
Sure.
This was supposed to have a theatrical release 2 years ago and it just came out because they couldn't get it in theaters, obviously. I get that part. Mm-hmm. What's this movie supposed to be? Like, it wasn't entertaining to me. I didn't find it a good action movie. I felt it was just a really long TV episode it could have been. I didn't feel any of it was really good. I mean, I do like Michael B. Jordan usually. Like, I usually don't dislike him. But I thought this was just bland. I mean, I did like the water scene with the car. I did quite enjoy that. But I thought it was pretty evident at the beginning when he sleeps on the couch. I'm like, okay, we know what's going to happen. You know, and I thought the end of the film was kind of dumb, too. They're just setting up the next film. Like, really, to me, this is a general action film that really didn't need to be made.
Well, I think what you just said is why it was made, that it's setting up the next. They wanted this to be the next big action franchise.
Right.
They had the Jack Ryan films, so now they're looking to expand the Tom Clancy verse and have the John Clark films.
Mm-hmm. Rainbow.
Yes. Yeah, the next movie would be Rainbow Six.
Yeah.
In college, I mean, I went through a Tom Clancy phase. I read a lot of the Jack Ryan books. I read up to The Sum of All Fears, and then I read the John Clark books. I read Without Remorse and Rainbow Six. This was not the book. I could tell you that. They moved it up in time. The book takes place. He has just come back from Vietnam. So they've moved up the timeline here. And then the book is basically two stories. He has to go back to Vietnam to rescue a POW. And then back in the States, he wages a personal war against drug dealers. So I love the book. It was my favorite Tom Clancy book that I read. This was not that book. As it was kind of just a generic action film with a post-credit scene to set up the next film, which would possibly be Rainbow Six if this one does well. Aside from that, I didn't really love it, I'll be honest.
So you have the same problem. So it's nothing like the book. They just built this movie to be a sequel? For the setup for the next sequel.
That's what it feels like.
Is this? Yeah. Could this be more an adaptation of the video games, though? Because that's my experience with Tom Clancy, the video games, not the books.
I haven't really played the video games. I know he released the book Rainbow Six to come out at the same time as the video game or the first iteration of the game. But I don't really know what the crossover is between book and game.
Okay, fair. I feel like the opening scene, at least when they're coming out of the water, like the stealthiness, that's very much feels like the vibe of the game. So I don't know if that's the same sense in the books. But I agree with you guys. This is basically Tom Clancy's Jason Bourne, but it's just really flat with the conspiracy of it, I found. I respected the stunt work a lot. Like, I like the stunt work and I like Michael B. Jordan, but it's flat, and I like my action a bit more fun and a little less serious, at least for this film.
I will say the fire scene was pretty awesome, though, and I liked how that ended, because there would be no logical way he could escape. So to come out and just be arrested immediately, that at least felt realistic to me.
See, I saw Those Who Wish Me Dead after, so I couldn't even remember the fire scene from this one. Okay, yeah, that was a good scene.
I thought it was pretty generic as far as action films go. I'm just reading a little bit about the history of the film while we're talking. This movie was optioned right when the book was published and has gone through so many drafts and so many stars over the last 20 years that, and apparently they've all been working with the same script and just revising it and doing revisions on it to the point where they changed it to whatever we got with this version. Apparently the previous version was supposed to tie in with the Jack Ryan movie. Remember when they relaunched Jack Ryan with Captain Kirk, Chris Pine?
Right.
This was supposed to tie in, and they were going to have Kevin Costner appear in both as a mentor, character named William Harper.
Okay.
Anyway, Jordan is good, and he's fine as an action hero. I just found that maybe it's something about the 27 years since the book was published. A lot of the scenes have been aped and imitated elsewhere. And we've seen so many Tom Clancy-like thrillers that an actual Tom Clancy thriller is generic. It's dull. And taking the Vietnam aspects and placing it in our modern world, it just makes it another Jack Ryan-like film. So I have remorse.
Is this one of the lesser Tom Clancy books, or is it one of the more popular ones?
It's one of the more popular ones. I think it's like a favorite of a lot of people.
Yep.
Oh, okay. So maybe I shouldn't read any of the books because this.
Yes, you should. You should read the Song of All Fears ones. They were really good.
The book is good.
The book is very different from this movie.
Okay. Bob, did you speak to this one?
Not yet. I was hoping it would be like a great book to movie film adaptation, but. Like Some of All Fear, I read Some of All Fears, and I thought that was good. And moving into film was good, but it just didn't connect with me. So I didn't really enjoy it either. It was okay, but it didn't connect.
Was it fine?
No, it wasn't fine.
Hey, but that was really exciting.
Was that a snort, Daniel?
Yeah, because you were like, hey.
Now, Bob, after watching this film, did you have a Wrath of Man moment that you just wanted to hit somebody?
Yes, I did, because I didn't. I started watching that one too. Oh, wait, sorry. Forgot, Daniel, you're...
Oh, I thought you were going to hop ahead again. Wrath of Man, directed by Guy Ritchie.
You started me hopping, Simon.
Screenplay by Guy Ritchie, Yvonne Atkinson, Warren Davies, starring Jason Statham, Hope McCallany, Jeffrey Donovan, Josh Hartnett, who is he? I don't know when the last time I saw him was. Laz Alonso, Raul Castillo, Diobia Aperi, Eddie Marson, and Scott Eastwood.
Scott Eastwood was in this?
Yeah, he was the big bad.
Yeah.
Kind of. Technically, the big... I mean, the end
I
game.
That was.
Yeah, with the eye.
Yeah, with the scar.
Yeah, I remember the guy. I just didn't care. Bob, you're up.
Me? Okay, well, it's going to be quick for me because I started watching it. My attention wandered, and I never got back to it, so I didn't really enjoy it all that much. What?
Disappointing. You got
disappointing. But it was a disappointing movie, so, like... Because I was... For me. Just for me. Okay, no. Go on.
Doug?
I'm going to come out here and just say I am unabashedly a huge fan of Jason Statham. So if he's in a movie, it automatically gets at least 2 stars from me. I had a blast with this. He knew exactly what kind of film he was in. He was the Clint Eastwood. He was stoic. He didn't have much dialogue. It was all physical for him. And the final, I guess, heist at the depot, I thought it was staged very well, shot very well. I'm not saying this is ever going to win any Oscars or anything, but I had a blast with it.
Okay, I'm going to piggyback on Doug because he covered most of my topics, which is excellent. Thank you, Doug. I just got to say, I had a little bit weird when they did the flashback in the middle of the film to set up why he was there. Because I'm watching the film and I'm like, okay. And we're getting through the plot. He's got the job. I'm kind of like, okay. And he's shooting badly on purpose. I kind of got that. Then the first, I'm like, Okay, why is he here? We're an hour into the film. I don't know why he's here or what the F is going on. And then they do this clunky flashback in the middle. It looked terrible. I'm like, couldn't we have started the film here? Like, take this, move it to the beginning, and then had that first. And I would have loved it. I would have like, okay, I get it now. What's going on here? Because I'm sitting there, what was his stupid name?
H. Patrick Hill.
What a dumb name. Like, who
gave the bullet, because it's his initial.
It's just a dumb idea. He should have a name. And I kind of thought this plot was a little see-through off the beginning. I'm kind of like, okay, somebody's ripping off somebody here. As soon as it starts, I don't care who. Doesn't really bug me, because it's a Jason Statham movie. It's going to have some action. Guy Ritchie's involved. It's going to have some action. That means guns. I'm in. Gunplay was great. Quite enjoyed the action scenes, the gunplay. I like the sound of the bullets. Post Malone getting his ass kicked was phenomenal. Quite enjoyed that whole scene.
Yeah.
Did this thing blow me away? No. But did it do its job? Yes. Did exactly what it was supposed to do. Great ending scene. That gunfights at the end and people getting killed. I thought the shooting was good. I liked the choreography. And I liked the location. We haven't seen that location in the film before. Obviously, the premise we've seen 100 times, like we saw in that really bad Gerard Butler film when the guy goes around and rips them off before they get there.
Law-abiding citizen?
No. Oh, after that, a couple years ago, I hated it.
Ten of Thieves.
It's the same exact plot, pretty much, with money trucks, and the guy was in the bar listening to them play nice. Doesn't matter. I think Guy Ritchie did a good film. I mean, that's my problem with Guy Ritchie. It's hit or miss with Guy Ritchie. I never find he's a guaranteed hit. But it's Jason Statham. I think even Statham does a good job. He doesn't talk too much, which, because I don't think James Statham's really a good actor. I think he's a good action star, not a good actor. But I think this film plays to his good thing, his gunplay. He only has like 4 or 5 lines here and there, and then they cut to what somebody else talks so he can shut up. Perfect idea. So positive on this one. Please watch.
I'll jump on the flashback part. I thought it was kind of clunky at the beginning of the flashback, I like the structure of it. I liked, because I thought it was interesting that we start out how we started out, because we're questioning, okay, is Statham the inside man? What's he planning here? We know he has ulterior motives. Is he the inside man? Or like, yeah, like what's he doing? So I thought that was interesting for the structure and just kind of that dynamic, not knowing for sure what he was in there doing, because we get the flashback about 40-45 minutes, so basically marks the start of the second act when we get a bit more info of why he's here. I really like this one. I like the action of it. I liked the villain's bullet. I love Jeffrey Donovan, who is technically the big bad, the guy who leads Sarge, who leads the squad. I've liked everything I've seen of him so far, and I think he's like a character actor, but I don't think he's been around for too long, at least like in pop, at least like when I've recognized him. But yeah, I like the structure of this. It felt more like a Jason Statham actioner than a Guy Ritchie film, because I didn't really think there was a lot of Guy Ritchie style here. Maybe I'm wrong on that one. I haven't seen Snatch or Lock, Stock and Smoking Barrels, but at least from what I saw with The Gentleman, it didn't really seem like his signature style.
I think it felt more like Guy Ritchie to me when Statham was with his crew, when they were investigating who did the hit or who did the heist. That felt Guy Ritchie to me, like when they take out the pornographers. That felt very Ritchie to me, I guess would be a way to say it.
Okay. Kevin?
I didn't see it.
I forgot.
So, yeah.
I think Kevin would like this film. I really do.
Well, I'm usually a fan of Guy Ritchie films, so I will watch it right after. Not that that helps for the show, but oh well.
Well, this is good Guy Ritchie, because I've seen King Arthur. Yeah. That was bad Guy Ritchie.
Yeah. I think that's the style I'm like thinking of, at least.
Well, that's what I mean. For Guy Ritchie films, just flip a coin. Either good or bad. Like, I don't find that I'm always on a middle with Guy Ritchie.
It's no Swept Away?
No, which I've never seen. Have you seen the original, Doug?
No.
No, I've never seen Swept Away. I'll add to my list.
Well, I've seen the original Swept Away, but the Guy Ritchie version was terrible.
I'm watching it this week. It's getting added to my list.
All right. Because it's made with his then-wife, Madonna.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
Right, is that his only romance movie?
I'm looking pretty much, right, I think, now. Yeah.
Oh, bottom-rated movies, number 100 on IMDb. Good job, Guy Ritchie.
Yep.
Okay, so this is probably our next film. The film you guys have been waiting for. You guys, those who wish me dead, are right here now with me.
Hey, I like that one. Those Who Wish Me Dead, directed by Taylor Sheridan. Screenplay by Michael Corta, Charles Leavitt, and Taylor Sheridan. Starring Angelina Jolie, Finn Little, Nicholas Hoult, Aiden Gillen, Jake Weber, Medina Senghor, John Bernthal, and Tyler Perry. First scene.
So I just want to back this up because the interns text me, Den of Thieves with the Gerard Butler film. That
yeah, I said that, but you just don't listen to me.
I know, I don't. That hair, I think.
You should text him instead.
I am listening to you. So,
no, you're good.
Calvin, did you watch this one?
I did. I actually just watched it, yeah. So,
tell me
what did I?
Pretty generic, I thought. I didn't love it. Angelina's kind of interesting as this kind of rough and tumble character that's a smoke jumper, deals with fires, forest fires. And then for some random reason, killers are trying to murder this guy and his son. And I never quite, I had to go to Wikipedia to figure out why it was they were trying to kill him. So he had evidence against the mob boss that they worked for.
But I didn't glean forensic accountant.
Yeah, I didn't glean that from the watching the movie.
I got the accountant part, but not that there was a mob boss.
Yeah,
I got it.
So Nicholas Hoult and Aiden, whatever, from Game of Thrones, they're okay. They're serviceable as military hitmen, in a sense. They set fire. There's electrical fires. There's electrical storms. There's a lot of running. There's bonding with children. The Punisher is in it, except he's a mild sheriff. I thought this was like a okay TV movie. I would not have gone to see this in a movie theater. This would have been a good Amazon Prime release or Netflix release. So, and Angelina, I don't know. Grow up, Angelina. Maybe she's maybe a little too old for this kind of stuff.
Do be an HBO Max release, though.
I didn't recognize her first. The same game.
Bob, you seem to be on an opposite end. Did you want to go?
You okay? I'm sorry to disagree, Kevin, but I did like it. Actually, I had to replay. There was a certain part I had to replay near the end where the I can't say it because I can because you say you were
say it.
The sheriff. Spoiler, yes. I kind of listened to it three or four times because the sheriff's wife says, don't hurry with the medevac. And I said, and I'm didn't know at first, but anyway, I got the part where he was a forensic accountant and they were on the run because he was trying to get killed. I didn't recognize Angelina at first because I thought she looks different for some reason. But the character she was playing, what?
Sorry to interrupt you. Plastic surgery?
Yeah. Okay. I knew that. Well, I knew that had to happen. Anyway, now I'm lost.
46th birthday 2 days ago.
Those lips gotta get bigger.
Finish.
Lost. I like the movie with the plot and the running from whatever, but
the two hitmen.
Yeah, that's it. I just lost where I was going. Anyway, so it doesn't matter.
So did they?
Yeah.
This movie, it felt like it should have been a 70s film because of the ending. It just kind of ends. There really is no resolution. They set up a lot of stuff that doesn't get paid off, really. You have Tyler Perry's character just come out of nowhere, say a few lines, and then that's never followed up on again. You don't know who Tyler Perry was working for. Was it the mob? Was it one of the senators or congressmen that's implicated? You don't know the fallout from the press release that, or not release, interview that the kid's going to do after everything. I would have liked to have seen that. See what happens. Maybe there would be like a duck walk or whatever with, and you see Tyler Perry getting arrested along with the senator, congressman, whatever. I would have liked to have seen that. Honestly, the character I found most interesting was John Barenthal's wife, a pregnant lady just kicking ass against two professional hitmen. I wanted to see an entire film of her. Otherwise, I, like you guys have said, this is just generic, and I felt it didn't really have as much payoff as it should have.
Okay. When we're going to introduce a film that Bob or Kevin had to go look up what the problem was, that's a problem. Like, can we actually see what's going on? Like, what does the guy have on these people? Like, that would have been 30 seconds, a minute going. And I,
the guy gave us a piece of paper detailing what was that, what the problem was.
Yeah, I mean,
we don't know. And they blew up the DA. I'm kind of like, doesn't DA have bodyguards or some kind? Like, literally blew up the DA.
Well, they said he had 24-hour police protection and see what happened there.
But not protection against gas leaks. That's the problem, guys.
Those stupid gas leaks. And then the hitman chased him because, like, I thought it was a little bit fine. And then Angela DeLee has to have her moment because she couldn't save the kid. We got to have that moment. You knew that was coming. Now, what bugged me most was Angela DeLee's face did not move this whole film. Did not move. It was driving me nuts. I'm like, why is her face not moving? Oh, that's not her face.
It's hard and plastic.
It was driving me nuts. I just found this film generic. I love John Bernthal. I'm like, can we redo this film? And I'm with, like, just get rid of these this kid that's annoying me because he needs to go. Get rid of face not moving. She needs to go. And just have Bernthal and his wife and the hitman. I think that's the movie, Doug. I think I'm totally with you. I think they missed that boat. That scene in the house when she's got the shotgun trying to kill them, phenomenal. That was the best part of the film. Absolutely great scene. I want a backstory on their marriage.
Like, took the shotgun outside, too. So, like,
those hitmen were boring as crap. They could all have died. I didn't care.
Serious, like, pregnant horse riding.
Like, that was awesome. I'm like, this chick's amazing. I'm with Doug. I need their backstory. I need a little bit in the beginning. I need face non-moving to go out of the movie because she did nothing to help me. The whole thing at the beginning was boring. So let's get some forensic accounting or show these guys doing some crap. Tyler Perry showing up out of nowhere for no reason, really, in my world.
So,
the movie should have been about the hitman.
So Tyler Perry's character is listed as the mob boss. So he was the boss.
Oh,
he was the guy they had, they had evidence against. Yeah.
Figured he was like an FBI agent or like CIA.
I thought
director.
He was like a in between, like a go between between whoever the head guy was. And
according to Wikipedia and according to the cast list, he is Arthur Phillip, the mob boss who hires Patrick and Jack, the hitman.
That's a long character name.
Yes.
Yeah, because who knew that watching this film what his name was? Nobody cared. He was like, oh, it's Tyler Perry. He is a terrible actor, too. He just bugs me. Like, I get the Medea character, but I don't find him as Tyler Perry ever good. He is beyond stiff as Tyler Perry.
You know, the only time I enjoyed him was Gone Girl.
Right.
As the lawyer.
That's right.
I thought he was good at it.
I like the film, but I don't remember him.
He advises Ben Affleck on how to handle the social media stuff.
Oh,
that was good.
Okay. I haven't gone yet. Thank you. No, I'm probably with Bob the most on this one. I liked it. You're surprised.
He thinks we're both stupid. That's what he thinks. I can see the look on his face.
No, I mean, I liked it. But this specific kind of movie is my shtick. Like, I love any kind of movie with a forest fire. I love these kind of thrillers. And there was this terrible thriller called Firestorm from, like, the late 90s that I liked when I was a kid. And I think that's what started my love of, like, any movie with, like, natural disaster aspect or, like, forest fires. And I liked Angelina Jolie's character as well. I liked that she, like, obviously, I just think it's decent writing. Like, oh, she has to, I like these redemption arcs where she lost the kid in the fire before, and now she's like, oh, hey, kid, you're my chance at redemption to actually help one this time and get over it that way. I thought that was an interesting dynamic. And as far as child actors go, I think his name was Finn Little. If I don't want to punch you in the face, to put it bluntly, you do a good job, kind of thing. And I never was really super annoyed with him. So, and I thought he was fine. I like the assassins, apparently they're twin assassins. So I guess fraternal. In the synopsis on IMDb, it says twin assassins.
They are.
Yeah. So, but I agree. Totally.
One just stayed inside the womb for an extra 10 years. That's all.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But I am in agreement that it really needed an extra 5 minutes at the end. Just give me a little exposition, because sometimes it's not that bad. Just explain to me why they're hunting the kid. Because you get it. Like, okay, like forensic accountant. But just give me a bit more, because I want that answered. But I like Taylor Sheridan's direction. I love Wind River, and I like this one too.
Actually, he did explain why he's a forensic accountant. He looks for things and
he's
wrong.
Yeah, he explains why he's like. I meant like explain why they're after him and like what they found. Because I would have loved to have seen the press conference and just the kid reading the letter.
That would have been good. Yes,
just tied in a little bow, right?
Yep. Second Tyler Sheridan written film we've discussed today.
Right.
What else do you
write? Without Remorse.
Oh, well, he writes, I liked High and Dry. Is that when we
did? Hell or High Water.
Hell or High Water, I liked. Okay.
I also love the first Sicario.
Amazing. Right. Film.
And then
he wrote that in like an afternoon or something.
Because he only wrote that one, and then he directed the second and wrote it, right? Because it was Villeneuve on the first one directing, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he directed I think. The guy who directed Sicario 2 was the same guy who did Without Remorse.
No, well, they both stink, so that's not a surprise.
Wait, I want to fact check this.
Can you look out your window, please?
I know. I couldn't figure out where that's coming from.
I think there's a woman in your window.
A woman in my window.
Oh, never mind. Okay. Sorry, I was looking up at Sicario. You are right. Stefano did Sicario 2. The woman in the window. Where's my cast list? Directed by Joe Wright. Screenplay by Tracy Lett. So that's why it's trash. Starring Amy Adams, Gary Oldman, Anthony Mackie, Fred Hechinger, Wyatt Russell, Brian Tyree Henry, Jennifer Jason Leigh, and Julianne Moore.
So wait, you're not a Tracy Letts fan, Daniel?
Yeah, he forgot about the writing of Tracy Letts.
I despise August Osage County.
Never saw it.
So that's just like, I mean, you know what? Like he's I like him better as an actor. I like him in Lady Bird. I like him better as an actor than a writer, I think. Even though he's probably a great playwright, but just not with August Osage County.
That's fair. He's one of my favorite playwrights, but I will. You're allowed to have your opinion.
I like them too. I mean, Lady Bird.
Maybe I'll pull up the filmography. Maybe I'll retract the statement. But just at least
you will.
At least based on August Osage County, it's just. Yeah, I mean, I'll start with this one. I don't think it's a good movie. From the first, I'll spoil. From the first minute, with how the phone calls with Anthony Mackie sounded, I was like, "Okay, your family's dead." I'm sorry, but your family's dead.
I agree.
From the very first minute, just how it's structured, it's just like, "Oh, okay." So I've already seen the midway twist, and then the big twist. I guessed it at one point, but then I was like, oh, "Okay, maybe not. It can't be that obvious." And then just the way he set, I like that writing when he sets up on the roof. And Wyatt Russell's on the roof and he does the glass thing. It's like, okay, finale. Sounds good. And it's just, it's less terrible than The Girl on the Train. Cause I just thought that was offensively bad. Cause at least this one looks good. like, I wouldn't mind dying in this world because it looks really nice. And I love Rear Window. I love Rear Window and just this kind of film because I'm a huge fan of Disturbia as well. But it's just this one missed for me, even with such a good cast. Bob liked it.
I liked it. Yes, I know it. I know it borrowed from Rear Window, but like there was differences, and the twists, both of them, I missed. I didn't miss them. I wasn't expecting them. But I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed Amy Adams' character. I didn't get that her family was dead until like midway through when they showed it. I'm going, okay, and she's supposed to be a psychologist or something, right?
Yeah, child psychiatrist. Yeah,
right. But I really enjoyed it from beginning to end. I was like hooked on it. I know I'm going to get disagreement. I already got Daniel disagreeing with me on it.
That's okay.
But I did enjoy it it did heavily look at Amy Adams' character, but so did Rear Window with Jimmy Stewart. Because it was like, without them, you don't have a story, really. Because why would you care about if James Stewart wasn't looking in the windows of the other side of the building, what was the point of the movie? It'd be a very short movie.
There wouldn't be any Rear Window or there wouldn't be any woman in the window.
Right. There wouldn't be Jimmy Stewart's Rear Window, Christopher Reeve's Rear Window, or this.
Hold on. Christopher Reeve did a remake of Rear Window?
Yes, he did. Yeah. After he was in his horse accident, he was like, he was limited as to movement. He was, you better find it, because it was sort of, it was
made for TV.
Paraplegic.
Okay.
And there would be no Shia LaBeouf in the window.
Okay, let's back this up. Bob, I'm listening to you. I know you liked it. No issues there. There has to be a plot to every film. Amy Adams is a shut-in. So what's going to be your excitement?
The reason she's a shut-in is because she was afraid of going out. She's an agoraphobic.
Yeah. Right, but we knew that. I think me and Daniel both had the same premonition right off the beginning.
Yeah, and I didn't like it because I saw myself in Amy Adams. Like, I don't like going outside.
Oh.
Which is fine. So I got that. But you're saying I got bored. I'm like, this needs to go somewhere. And we're comparing it to Rear Window, which is perfection in my world. It's a 10 out of 10. Disturbia takes the Rear Window concept and really does it well with Shia LaBeouf. Excellent movie. Really enjoyed Disturbia. Now we're getting to the third or fourth remake of the same idea. I'm bored. I don't find Amy Adams interesting at all in this film. I find Gary Oldman dull, which really upsets me, but it was.
I actually liked him.
Jeff.
I thought it was him that was
Jennifer Jason Leigh really doesn't anything. The most interesting person was Julianne Moore, and they take her out early. Because, I mean, obviously, they have to have something to do. I get that. I mean, I was looking forward. I did enjoy the Wyatt Russell character, but he didn't have enough to do. He was kind of just there as to direct me in a different way, which I knew that. Now, did I know who the killer was? No. But I don't think I had any clues to tell me who the killer was. Maybe I missed them, but I mean, I didn't feel I had enough to get here. And then Amy Adams' big thing when she goes out of the house, I'm like, really? We all knew that was going to happen. It's kind of like Anna Jolie doing the fire thing with saving the kid that she didn't save earlier. I think that was telegraphed in the first 10 minutes.
Sure.
Nothing here surprised me. I did enjoy the rooftop scene. I thought it was I liked shooting on the rooftop scene. I thought that was well directed, but I didn't care at that point. It was too little, too late.
Yeah.
My great ending. Got it. But you need to work the last hour to make this pay off for me. And my issue was the payoff. I didn't give a crap. I just wanted it to end because I was bored. Because, I mean, I knew she was drinking, taking pills. I'm like, okay, that's going to come up again. And I'm just like, okay, I got it the first 10 minutes of this film. You showed this all to me. And then you're bringing it back again. I don't want that. I want something deeper. This is Rear Window you're using. Rear Window is an amazing, amazing film. If you're going to remake it, it better be good.
But it's not total. It's not a total remake of it. It's different.
Oh, no, but it's just a rip-off. There's turns.
It's a homage.
But it's Rear Window. Jimmy Stewart. Okay. Yeah. Stewart starts off. All I'm remembering is Rear Window and Disturbia. This is not even in the same ballpark. That's my issue.
Well,
my
to be fair, Joe Wright, the director, was anticipating that comparison. And the first thing you see in the film is Jimmy Stewart getting choked.
Yeah, that's true.
The scene in the window. So he's right up front about it.
That's true.
But he's going to expect me to compare it then.
Mm-hmm. And compare his style to David Fincher, even.
I'm not blaming the director. I don't think he did anything wrong. Other than, it's more the writing I have an issue with. And Amy Adams just, it's dull. She's not a good thing. I think she needs a helper. Or somebody to give me something to do or tell me something. Yeah, maybe have more characters she sees outside.
At this point, she just wants that Oscar, and it's just not going well.
No.
Kevin, what do you think of this?
The word that comes to mind is garbage.
Like I said, yeah.
First off, Amy is an unreliable narrator. You can't follow her. She's drunk. She goes on these benders. She's taking pills. She doesn't know what's going on half the time. So who knows from scene to scene if what we've seen her experience is in fact what's actually happening. Did she see someone? Did she not see someone? The police are openly hostile to her. That one police officer, the female, the woman comes in, like, she's so rude to her. She's called her. You know, you go to jail for calling 911. Jesus Christ. She thought she saw a murder, you know, at least give her the benefit of the doubt. And then for some reason, the police always seem to let in Gary Oldman's character. Whenever the police are there, somehow he manages to come into their house past the police barricades all the time. I never quite understood that. For a child psychologist, she certainly didn't see the killer being the kid. She didn't see that.
Yeah.
And that was about the dumbest, reveal. I mean, the fact that they try to, it's like the film doesn't know who is the killer. Is it Gary Oldman? Or maybe it's Wyatt. Maybe it's Julianne Moore. Maybe they're trying to steal stuff from her. Maybe they're trying to make her crazy. It's just, I didn't care. The whole time, I just didn't care.
I was just going to add on, the only reason I knew that it could be the kid, because it's like, not who you least suspect, not who you most suspect, but who you medium suspect. Mm-hmm. And that's why I thought it was him, but we
least suspect is the wife.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Because she has nothing to do. So I thought, well, it's got to be her, because she couldn't do anything else.
But I also, the only explanation I could think of was of why Gary Oldman, because I knew Amy Adams was being gaslit. Like, I just knew that, like, yeah, okay, Julianne Moore was there. But the only reason I knew was because, like, okay, the only reason Gary Oldman is lying this adamantly is to protect his kid. And, like, when the kid is like, I can't tell you, I was like, oh, okay, so you probably did it then, didn't you? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But after a while, I didn't care.
Oh, exactly.
I'm so bored of Amy Adams that 10 minutes her looking for her cell phone. I'm like, that's a waste of my time.
See, I'm going to
look for my cell phone instead. Sorry, Doug.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm going to be honest. Before I watched this, I had read a lot of bad reviews of it. So I went in with low expectations. I didn't hate the film. I'm not going to say it's good. I feel it didn't play fair with the mystery at all. And it really didn't give some great actors anything to do. Like, Gary Oldman had nothing to do. Jennifer Jason Leigh had nothing to do. Julianne Moore, Amy Adams, and Wyatt Russell, I think those are the three who actually got to play around a bit with the genre and stuff. And I enjoyed their performances. All in all, I really can't say I hated the movie, but I didn't love it. I thought her all of a sudden getting over her agoraphobia at the end, that just didn't ring true to me at all. But I would say if you're looking for something to watch on a rainy afternoon, there's worse things to watch.
Yeah, I've seen them this week.
The Sasquatch movie. But that's about it.
Yeah, just watch the Disturbia Rear Window instead, I think.
And watch Rear Window again. Yeah. Just revisit it. It's much better.
Though, quickly, like, to your point, Kevin, about the one detective being so mean to her, yeah. I felt like that was the same exact character as Allison Janney in Girl on the Train. Mm. Just being super, like, aggressive off the bat.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to be good cop, bad cop in every situation.
Sure.
You know, someone thinks they saw a murder, you talk to them.
The cat is bad.
You don't just accuse them.
And Brian Tyree Henry, he's another actor who had nothing to do, who I genuinely like a lot.
Who's he in the movie?
He was the nice.
He was the male cop.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I love him too.
So, I went for a walk the other day, and I saw an army of dead. It was kind of weird. It's like a Tuesday.
Did you see an undead tiger too?
No.
No, okay.
But I did see a deer stuck in the foundation of the new houses near my house.
Oh. Was he dead?
No, live. Couldn't get out. Like, both the house and the deer somehow got in to the where the basement is.
Okay. Okay. The Army of the Dead. Direction by Zack Snyder. Screenplay by Zack Snyder, Shea Hatton, Joby Harold, starring Dave Bautista, Ala Purnell, Omari Ken Hardwick, Anna De La Ruggiera. I did not practice these, as you can tell. Theo Rossi.
Why not?
You know, I did like 5 minutes before, so that's my excuse this time. Matthias Shirekafor, Hiroyuki Sanada, Tignataro, Raul Castillo, again, who was in one of the other films. I think he was in Wrath of Man, and Garrett Dillahunt.
Kevin?
What was this movie? 2.5 hours? Almost 3 hours?
Yeah. Two hours, 28.
Good old indulgent Zack Snyder. Lots of slow-mo. Lots of still shots. Quick cuts. I actually thought the film looked good. That's about the height of my praise. Actually, Bautista's pretty good. I like Bautista. He's all right in this film. I really like Snyder's Dawn of the Dead. I think it's a great zombie movie and probably the best thing that he's done. And, you know, the idea of him returning to a zombie movie. And, I mean, in a sense, this is like Ocean's 11 meets Dawn of the Dead, right? So we got to do one last heist from a vault in Las Vegas before they nuke it because it's overrun with zombies. You know, some pretty cool visual shot, like lots of interesting shots. The zombie tiger was unique.
Yep.
The fact that it was one of Siegfried and Roy's tigers, a white tiger, was kind of interesting. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. It was. Yeah.
I thought they tried to do something unique with the zombies that we haven't quite seen anywhere else. I'm not exactly sure what it was. Trying to give them a sense of intelligence. That the main zombie, the one that got out from the military base and then organized everybody, any zombie that he directly created was smarter than the other sort of warrior zombies, including the showgirl zombie who is, I guess, the mother of his unborn zombie child. Some interesting stuff. So there was an intelligence there. And the fact that you could negotiate with these zombies, you could hand over a criminal and they would let you pass through. They would give you enough. So I thought that was an interesting twist on the zombie motif. But beyond that, I mean, it's like typical heist movie type of thing where you gather a bunch of, you know, experts, like military experts and former military people and lock pickers, like with the German guy who's such a weird character, the lockpicker, and he befriends that one guy. And anyway, the film was just, I mean, the fact that Tignataro was hired after they shot the entire movie, they did all of her stuff on green screen and then they inserted her in to replace the actor who they felt was problematic.
Castilla.
Castilla.
Yeah. That was interesting, and you'd have to look for it, but that wasn't too bad. Anyway, just kind of dumb zombie fun stuff. So, but the ending was just ridiculous to me. I put me right off. Any sense, I'm walking into the film going, okay, they nuked it, you know, whatever. The guy gets out into the middle of an irradiated field with the money, and then he walks all the way across the desert, finds himself a truck, goes, takes that truck to an airport, hires a flight, gets on the flight. And I mean, by this point, it's got to be like 2 weeks after he got out of, I mean, if he wasn't already dying from radiation.
No, he's good.
Then he starts to turn into a zombie.
Yep.
For dramatic purposes.
While Bautista was like 2 seconds after he was bitten, he was starting to turn into a zombie. So there was no logic to it.
You have to die first before you turn into a zombie. Is that the technicality here?
Is that the technicality?
Yeah, it seems because Bautista died first and then he became one 2 seconds later. Uh-huh. But yeah, so I guess that is, you know what? I was hoping I could agree with you on that one, but I think that's the, because that's a good spot of a plot hole, but I think it is because when they die, they turn.
It just put me right off the whole thing, I thought.
For sure.
Why would he, but he started exhibiting symptoms that would maybe lead to his death to turn him into a zombie. Why wouldn't he start exhibiting those symptoms on the walk across the desert?
That's fair.
Right. So
maybe the radiation and the zombiness canceled each other out. No?
They wanted to set up the sequel. There's going to be another film.
Yeah, the sperm weren't swimming up the zombie sperm. Whatever. Garbage. Yeah. They're doing a prequel with the Dieter is getting a prequel story.
And also an animated prequel.
Wait, who's getting a prequel story?
Army of Dead.
Dieter.
Dieter? Which one's that?
Yeah, he was the German guy, the safecracker.
Oh, really?
Yeah, apparently they want to tell his story.
Safecracker guy that could, I need quiet.
Yeah.
Fuck this $2 million safe and he cracks it in like 5 minutes. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, so, but they're on a countdown.
But wait a second.
Our time is 30 minutes movie time.
Why did they need a safecracker to begin with? The guy who hired them to rob the vault owned the vault. He should have the combination and just say, even if that's all just a ruse to go get the zombie head that they want to sell, why did he tell them to get a safe? Why can't he just say, here's the combo, go in and get it for me?
Trauma?
very short
the owner of it.
I hate this movie.
Yeah, short movie if you did that.
They set up things like, oh, you should see it when it starts to rain. All these zombies come back to. I'm like, great, there's going to be rain, or the fountains in one of the casinos will go on and all those zombies will come back to life. Mm-hmm. Nope, not at all. They just say it and then forget about it. I hated the opening credits. The whole saga of the mother trying to find her daughter, and then at the end, just to get smooshed under the last container.
Yeah.
Why did that have to happen? There was military all around them with guns. They couldn't shoot the zombies that were coming up behind them. No, they had to drop the thing because Snyder thinks dark, depressing things make serious stories. I hated this movie so much.
Eva.
And I will say one of my favorite actors working today was in this, Garrett Dillahunt. I love Garrett Dillahunt. And he had the two scenes that I enjoyed. I liked when he messed with the zombies and threw the light stick down the hall and made the one woman go down the wrong way and the zombie mayhem that followed. And his death scene. I loved his death scene. Mm-hmm. But aside from that, fuck this movie.
Bob?
I agree with Kevin on the tiger, the zombie tiger. That was a cool idea. But it reminded me too much of like the Maze Runner, you know, where they encircled the town with to the town the city with all these whatever it was, they encircled it. That reminded me too much of the of Maze Runner and another one. And then Dave Bautista's acting didn't help too much. All he was doing was grr shoot. Like normally I try to avoid zombie movies except for a couple of them, and this sealed the deal on that one. But I guess I will watch them. But the only two I watched were Anna and the Apocalypse and Warm Bodies. But other than that, I'm not really a zombie movie type of person.
Those are the only two zombie movies you've seen?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure. Boots, what are you doing? She's getting under one of the computer screens.
I do love Anna and the Apocalypse, though.
Yeah, anyway. There was something else I was thinking of there, but I lost it. But okay.
Okay.
Sorry.
I think me and Doug are on the same. Okay. I'm watching this movie. I love heist movie story. I'm 100% on board. This whole cast was terrible. Not one of these people interests me. The Spanish girl I thought was Ana de Armas for like half the movie. And just first, I'm like, no, that's not her. Batista bored the crap out of me. I'm like, you're like Rock Light. Like, really? You're like the guy The Rock makes fun of at WWE when he was there. Terrible. Like, this movie was so boring. Take Notaro, because I knew Chris O'Dillia was removed. I'm like, you're acting against a green screen again. And then I'm thinking, is this whole movie shot against a green screen? Wow, this makeup is really good. This movie is boring as crap, but fuck, I really like the makeup in this movie. Wow, that's a really nice CGI zombie face. Ooh, look, they dropped it. Wow, that hit the floor. That looks really cool. God, this film is really boring. Oh, wow, they cracked that safe really fast. Maybe some zombies will show up and do something interesting. Nope, not yet. Because they're so smart, they put on a face mask. Well, that's great. Maybe shoot them in the chest, you morons. Okay.
Yeah, but shooting them in the chest doesn't do anything. You got to shoot them in the head to the brain. That's the only way to kill them.
If I blow your arms off and blow your legs off, how are you going to get me?
They're going to keep coming. They'll drag themselves around.
Oh, and then you know what? He can't take off his mask if his arms are gone. I'll give you that one.
I gotta step away for just a sec.
No problem. Worries, but you know what I'm saying? I'm sitting there, I'm like, this is 2.5 hours? I'm really bored. Army of the Dead says right here in the title, what do I want?
2.5 hours.
5 billion zombies running around, ripping the crap out of people.
Well, if it rained, you would have got them.
I don't get that. What I get is Dave Bautista trying to act, can happen, terrible. Take Nicaro trying to act, bunch of people I don't give a crap about. Nobody gets really eaten alive. They get the one guy run hate that guy from Sons of Anarchy. He's terrible too. He gets turned into a zombie, and then the big reveal, he's a zombie. Fuck, I knew that from the beginning when you shot him with the gun, you idiots. I want more zombies, more bullets, more blood, and more interest.
You want more blood? This is a
piece of crap. 2.5 hours of boredom. Like, I'm sitting here trying to run the chopper. Maybe you could do something. Explain why the chopper's not working. All she was hit the button 50 times. I could do that in the movie. Could have paid me.
Also, Gita, the character that was so important that they had to go try to rescue her.
Yeah.
She dies off screen. You never see her die. She's not important.
So I'm literally losing my crap watches. And then Dave Bautista's got a bond with his daughter at the end. I'm like, I don't care. And then soon the black guy gets on the plane. I'm like, well, he got bitten earlier. We saw him get bit. We literally saw him get bit before he went in that vault.
But since it's 2.5 hours, we forget.
No, I didn't forget. So then I'm like, oh. So this whole movie could have been avoided if they all went into the vault, waited for the bomb to come, and they all just escaped magically?
Indiana Jones
style. I would like to have seen them get out of the vault. Somehow would have might show me that scene. I would have liked that. Climbs out of the vault. Nuker fallout everywhere. Okay, fine. I'll let that go. Finds a car and randomly goes. And then they show, oh, no, I need to wash my face. I'm like, oh, well, he got bit. Who cares? I'm like, this is just sequel setup, but he should be dead.
For sure.
I'm having issues, Doug. I think this thing should be nominated for best makeup and look good and best use of green screen.
Also, as a warning to U.S. viewers, Sean Spicer appears and fuck that guy.
Yes, he does. Why is he there, Doug? You could have made 50 grand for that scene. Hey, this is the problem. Getting Roadhead causes accidents. Just so everybody knows, words of wisdom, Roadhead causes accidents.
I was going to say, that's hilarious to me that the zombie apocalypse is caused by Roadhead.
It is.
I like that. Yep. I think I like this the most out of everyone, but that is not meaning that I loved it. I liked the action. I liked a lot of the action sequences. I thought the pool focus, the constant pool focus, was kind of weird. I liked the world building. It kind of reminded me of I Am Legend, but it also reminded me of Planet of the Apes, where I was just expecting them to go zombies together strong half of the time, because that was the vibe I was getting. The scenes with the queen kind of looked exactly out of that Joker scene in Justice League, the Snyder cut. I thought she kind of looked like a succubus. I kind of liked the design of her.
She looked like Suicide Squad.
Oh yeah, Enchantress. But just the style of the look of it, the cinematography, I thought like exactly like Snyder's style, obviously. Mm-hmm. The parts I didn't like, I didn't think Snyder knew how to get them out of it. And where it really turned for me was where out of nowhere, the Maria, the mechanic, was like, "Oh, I love you, Dave Bautista. I love you. Like, I came on this trip for you." And there wasn't really any, absolutely no evidence before that. And then she's like, "I'll come with you to get your daughter." And then obviously the elevator opens, she gets her neck snapped. It's like, "Oh, I don't care. I didn't know you at all. Snyder's trying to, it just didn't work for me." I like the zombie tiger. I love Dillahunt getting his face ripped off by the zombie tiger. I don't know how you could want more Blood Simon, because I thought there was so much gore here, which I thought was one of the cooler like aspects of the film with all those effects. But it falls apart in the last 45 minutes, and there's so much fat that could be trimmed off here. And then just like, I don't need a happy ending, but like, okay, now everybody's just dead, and now we're going to do a apocalypse in Mexico City as well. Yeah. I mean, give me an hour and a half and I'll probably watch this again, because I like heist movies a lot, but yeah, I'll just watch Zombieland again.
The prequel you might like then.
Oh,
I did see Zombieland. That was one I did see. Okay.
Now, is the prequel going to be anything to do with zombies, or just him as a safecracker?
From what I heard, he directed it himself, actually, the guy who played Dieter.
It's already made?
Really big in Germany.
Yeah. It's, he is hired, I think, to commit robbery in Europe while the stock markets are crashing because of what's happening in America. So maybe there will be zombies mentioned, but from what I hear, that's more of a straight up heist film, less supernatural.
Oh, okay.
I think it's called Army of Thieves, I think is what it's called.
Oh, maybe that's what this should have been called.
I thought that was
Army of Boredom.
Den of Thieves sequel. Okay.
Yes, it's a Den of Thieves sequel. When they all die, they came back as zombies.
Exactly.
So they could be in this movie.
I gotcha. St. Maude?
That's your thing. There's not even a Trump in a
song. What are you going to do? I'm just like, St. Maude? Question mark?
I had something.
Are we feeling St.
Maude was going to be my translation, but
and then there's
you didn't go for that.
Okay.
I Kevin remembers that bad show.
I remember it.
Kevin does? Okay. So St. Maude, written
I do remember Then There's Maude.
Written and directed by Rose Glass, starring Morfydd Clark, Jennifer Ely, and Lily Knight, and a bunch of other people.
Only three of us have watched it, so Doug!
First of all, this movie is The story is very generic. However, I loved it. I loved the way this movie was shot. And it's very rare that a movie's very final seconds is my favorite part of the entire film. I was blown away by how well this movie was shot. The thing that first struck me was the scene where Maud is walking up the stairs and she has that near orgasmic experience with the Lord. Just the way that was shot, the way she fell over onto the stairs and the landing. I thought it was brilliant. I really loved the color timing of this movie. I can't say enough good things about the look of it. The story, very generic. A nurse tries to bring her patient to the Lord, gets made fun of for it, and then ends up killing her patient at the end in a fit of manic rage, I would say. But then the ending on the beach, when you see it through her eyes, and then at the very last second you see what's actually going on, that blew me away. I loved it.
You really did get touched by the Lord.
Yes.
In a lot of scenes. Simon, did you want to go? Because I feel like I'm going
to be. You want me to trash this now, or do you want me to be nice?
Okay, I'll go before your rant. Out of the big H24 horror films, I think this one is my least favorite. Like, at least opposed to The Witch, Hereditary, Midsommar, even Lighthouse.
If you're comparing it to those, yeah.
Yeah, fair. Yeah. I wanted to like it more. Like, I didn't hate it, but I know I'm not. I know I didn't hate it as much as Simon. Because I really liked some of the horror sequences. Like, the last 15 minutes were fantastic. Just, like, with the creepy mouth thing that kept happening. And just being like, oh, I'm a demon. But no, I'm probably not. It's just a manic episode. And then the very final shots were, like, that redeemed the film for me. Because it feels kind of like a slow burn, even though it's 80 minutes long. I liked the main actress. I liked Jennifer Ely. I was just bored some of the time, and I didn't say anything. I think.
Okay. I didn't say anything.
What's going on? Okay, I'm just gonna keep talking. I was just bored some of the time, and I just kind of wanted a bit more from it. Like, I thought the themes were very thought out, but yeah, like the story just felt generic, and I kind of just wanted more from the story, even though some of the horror was great. Like when she's having sex with a dude and her hands go through his chest, I was like, oh, that caught me off guard. Was just like, okay, she's just having sex, and then it's like boom. Which what happens in sex, sorry. But anyway,
I think you're doing it wrong.
Exactly. But yeah, I wanted to like it more, even though I didn't hate it.
Okay.
I guess. This is my roundabout way of saying that. Now it's your turn to trash the film.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
These slow burn horror films, kind of like that other one I didn't overly enjoy, but I liked it better with whatever everybody liked it. It takes place in Norway or someplace. Can't remember.
Midsommar.
That's it. These aren't for me. I find them, they get really deep. She's religious. I don't care. Bored. I understand she's not. I thought she was just having some manic depression and visions from doing too many gummies. I really felt that film should have gone there. I just didn't find this interesting. I find the film just dwells on something I have no interest in. You know, I mean, I understand at the end she burns. I was kind of happy when she burns. I'm like, hey, it's over. And that's really how I felt about it. This was just not for me on any level. She's a nurse. She gets fired. I just didn't care at any time what happened to her. I really just wanted the train to come over from Terror Train and run her over is what I was looking for. But that didn't happen. Maybe some kind of clown mask to take her out. How about the Omen kid just to come out and throw her out a window?
Oh,
I mean, I understand she was supposed to be in touch with the Lord. I just never felt any of this was real. I always thought it was just some kind of weird dream or the demon possession, which never happened. But I think it does really at the end. I don't think she knows what's going on.
Well, no, she suffered a trauma before the movie started.
She
killed a patient, and that's what brought her to the Lord.
But,
and so I got it from that respect.
Okay.
I get what you're saying. I mean, I didn't buy the Jennifer Ely thing. I didn't buy the choices she made. I didn't buy, she couldn't buy, she's a lesbian. She had issues with that because she's Catholic. I'm like, you know what? I don't care. I don't like you. I don't like this movie. I find no interest in it. I can't recommend it to me. It only made $1.4 million at the box office. I can see why. I'm interested.
Fair.
All right.
I was going to say something.
Since I've referenced these already, I was already on a train, but I've never had a terror train in my life. Maybe Kevin has. He's ridden the subway a little bit more than I have.
See, my transition would have been going off the rails of a terror train.
I'm so sick of that song. It's annoying. I liked it probably when I was like 10.
And after hearing
it 3 billion times, I never need to hear it again.
Is that it? Oh, I thought that was the song. Directed by Terror Train, directed by Roger Spottiswood, written by T.Y. Drake, starring Ben Johnson, Jamie Lee Curtis, Hart Bachner. And I don't know why Ben Johnson's name is before Jamie Lee Curtis.
Because he's an Oscar winner.
Oh. Is he the conductor?
Yes.
Okay. Who wants to start?
You are.
Oh, shit. I shouldn't have talked. This is just mediocre slasher. I don't have a lot to say about it other than Jamie Lee Curtis tries her best. The characters are annoying. I usually like these. And David Copperfield's in it as well. I forgot about him.
Is that really him? I thought
it was
Copperfield.
It says David Copperfield as magician in the credits. So, I mean, I never really thought he was the killer, though, to be honest. I was like, oh, okay, that's an interesting idea as Copperfield as the killer. But then the reveal is kind of weird. It feels like it might be transphobic in today's age. But anyway, this was made like 40 years ago. It's not very good. It feels like a mediocre 80s slasher that just, I've already forgotten it. And it took me about 3 nights to finish because I was just, it felt like a slog, to be honest. And half the kills are off screen. So it's just no bueno. And then it's just, yeah, like Gene Shalit killing everybody. Or Groucho Marx, I guess, is who it actually is. But to me, it looks like Gene Shalit. Who's next?
Kevin, you can watch this. Or no, Doug?
I'm going to first of all say I picked this movie because in 1980, Jamie Lee Curtis made 3 films, The Fog, Prom Night, and this film. I've seen the other 2. I've never seen this, so I thought it would be a good excuse to watch it.
Okay.
I'm still mad at myself for never watching this before because this movie is absolutely insane. I can't think of another movie that takes time out, at least 10 minutes worth of screen time, and devotes it entirely to David Copperfield doing magic tricks. I absolutely love that. They just stop the story for a while and let David Copperfield do his stuff.
I kept going, that guy looks a lot like David Copperfield, but it can't be David Copperfield because I remember seeing his name in the credits.
And Ben Johnson did this movie because he became friends with Roger Spottiswood, who was an editor, I believe. And this is his directorial debut. He had worked with Sam Peckinpah on a few of his films. And that's how he met Ben Johnson. And they became fast friends. And Ben Johnson didn't even want to read a script. He just said, I'll do it if you're directing. So I thought that was interesting. And the fact that he actually gets like his sheriff of the town scene where all the students want to get off the train. And he's like, well, son, you're going to have to get through me. And I've got an axe or whatever. And this movie was so insane, but I loved it. I'm not saying it was good. I'm just saying it was crazy.
I saw it like yesterday for the very first time. I thought it was similar, but not quite. And I know it's different genres because Murder on the Orient Express is a mystery, and this was a thriller, horror, et cetera. But it, like, I found it similar because it had Jamie Lee Curtis as the protagonist, like the Scream Queen, et cetera. And it looks like an early role too. But I did like it. It's just that I found it like on a generic side. I'm not saying I didn't like it, but it was a generic a horror thing. Killing, 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 magic, 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 killing. And I thought that David Copperfield was going to kill it. But nope.
Okay. Well, since you didn't want to go into too much depth, I will.
Well, you usually don't like it if I do that because you're a spoiler.
No, go ahead. You can't spoil Terror Train. I thought this was like way too long. It was only like an hour and 26. I was dying. I felt like I was watching this film for 3 days. I kept going, isn't this over yet? I've only watched 45 minutes. Okay, watch a bit more. I guess time to get another snack. Something interesting is going to happen. Nope. I wanted something. I liked the premise of this film. I thought it was a great idea. I was kind of into it. I'm like, okay, the killer killed somebody off the beginning, got it. And we're going, I love the reveal at the end. I did enjoy it. I could not figure out who the killer was. I did try to figure it out. Obviously, Jamie Lee Curtis figures it out by the end and tells us roughly who it is. But I didn't know which character that was. I had no idea. And I liked how he kept switching costumes. I thought that was kind of cool. Yeah. I did want to give that full credit. And I got to agree with Doug. They kind of like stopped for this magic show. I'm like, oh, this has got to be something. Nope, nothing. And then they go back to the magic show. I was kind of like, I'm so confused. The magic show I kind of like. Like, I'm going, that can't be David Copperfield. Why is David Copperfield in this film? Exactly. Why is Jamie Lee Curtis not doing anything of interest? Why are we back in this car again? Why is this film so bloody boring? Can some more people, can I see something of interest? Then they get off the train. I'm like, oh, we're going to have something in the train station. Nope. They all get back on the train. I'm like, oh my God, please get off the terror train because I am so fucking bored of this train. I wanted something to happen of interest for me other than the magic show that really had nothing to do with the film.
Well, this movie actually did traumatize Jamie Lee Curtis in real life.
How?
Oh, I didn't know.
Magic? The scene where she's getting terrorized and she locks herself in that little heated inn, okay. And she takes like the ticket stub thing, stabs it in the attacker's face. The prop department did not put the correct thing in, so she actually stabbed it through the stunt guy's cheek.
Oh, my God.
She left the set and didn't come back for 2 days.
Ow.
I can understand that. That's bad for anybody. Come on, prop department. That's, you got to do that correctly.
That feels bad.
I just... Okay, I've never seen The Fog, so maybe Doug can add that to a future list so we could get that done.
I've seen that either.
Oh, absolutely. It's John Carpenter. I've seen that plenty of times.
I've never seen the remake either. I just want to say I have seen Prom Night, and that is actually near the intern's house at school. It's filmed in Toronto. And
where?
I look at the name of the school. You can look it up on Wiki. It's in Toronto, and because of COVID, beginning of COVID, I haven't been over that way. So I am going to go there, and I will post it on our extra feature. Actually, I'll put it on our Facebook page. A picture of me with the extra feature shirt that everybody should own underneath the school because it's filmed in Toronto, prom night, and the school is not far from the intern.
Hamilton, actually.
No, it's not.
But it says that at the Hamilton High School.
No, it's wrong because I looked up the school, and they have a picture of it, and it looks exactly like the
prom. Alexander Hamilton High School?
No, they have the one in Toronto. I looked it up.
Oh, Don Mills College and Institute.
That's it.
Oh, I was reading the movie, the high school name of the in the movie.
Yeah, no. It's right near my house. So eventually I will get over there and take a photo for Doug.
So it's right off the parkway?
What?
It's right off Don Mills Parkway?
Yes. It's okay. Not far from Bob. He'll be there in like 20 minutes. I keep forgot to go. I keep meaning to go. I just got to get over that way. So I am sitting here. I'm at the zoo the other day.
Huh.
And it has these dolphins. And my kids loved it. It was like a day of dolphins. I'm not really a dolphin guy, though. So, but the kids were happy as a parent. You got to do these things.
Where was this zoo that was open during the pandemic?
It was on Zoom. It was one of those Zoom.
Oh, it was a Zoom.
Yeah, Zoom. You had to pay $5 Zoom. To Zoom. There and watch it.
Zoom.
Wouldn't it be a Zoom aquarium?
Zoom Zoom's petals. No, that didn't work.
Did the dolphins talk to you?
No, they don't like me.
No, they didn't. They didn't know
English. Like that's that extra features guy that hates everything.
They weren't trained to speak English.
They are. They still like me.
Okay. So, the Day of the Dolphin, directed by Mike Nichols, screenplay by Buck Henry, starring George C. Scott, Trish Van Devier, and Paul Sorvino.
Okay, before anybody talks about this film, Buck Henry never gets enough credit. This guy's written a billion things.
Yeah.
He also voiced.
Pardon?
I think he also voiced the dolphin.
Oh, he might have. I mean, I just meant
actually, Buck the names of the dolphins were Buck. Were one of the one of them was named Buck.
No, a bee.
In real life.
Oh, okay.
Aha.
I'm just saying.
You got me on that one.
Buck Henry needs some love. That's all I'm saying here. Kevin, you're up.
I'd have to have seen it.
Kevin's out.
Boom.
Boom.
Yeah.
I saw it. As I said to Doug, I loved it. What? Oh. Can I go? Oh, okay.
No, sorry.
I said to Doug, thank you for introducing me to this film because I learned more about dolphins because they are actually intelligent, and I watched this with interest because like every scene was interesting to me, and I liked where they were talking to George C. Scott. I know it was filmed. I know it's fake, but what was it? And I read on Wiki that the dolphins actually escaped. After they finished the filming their scenes, the real ones like escaped into like they left, never came back. But I enjoyed every like the interaction between the dolphins and George C. Scott or the other characters because they said Pa and they said Pa loves Pa and I go, oh, that's cute. But I really enjoyed it because I learned something about dolphins. So thank you again, Doug.
You're welcome.
That's pretty self-aware to the film with them escaping it after
the they knew they were done.
They became train killers. That's why they escaped.
Ah,
yeah.
So they're assassinating to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Who Tyler Perry's going to hire next after
Tyler Perry's dolphins?
See, that's the exposition we needed in Those Who Wish Be Dead, or whatever it's called.
Actually, if the two killers were dolphins in that movie, that would have been a hell of a movie.
Yes.
Dolphins with lasers attached to them.
Yes, freaking lasers. Sorry.
No, you're good. I'll go on this one. I enjoyed it to an extent. It's nothing. Yeah, I enjoyed it. It's nothing I would probably watch again, but I like watching these old films that... like it's like this was early. This is like Mike Nichols' fifth film, so I'm curious why this one kind of went in between the cracks and wasn't really seen. So I guess it was the way it was released or something. Because this was between two of his big films that I can't remember the names of.
I don't remember
Catch 22 and something else. Anyway, but I enjoyed it. I liked the idea of the dolphins talking. I enjoyed learning more about dolphins because I like dolphins as a whole. And I like learning that they're smart. And I like them as animals because they're cute. And it's funny that they talk, I guess. If you restructure this like today, I feel like this would make a good animated film just with a similar premise with the... structuring it without like the presidential assassination, which I thought was interesting, but partly the last 20 minutes was where it kind of narratively, I didn't really like it, just because the fact that what these baddies are planning the whole time doesn't even have to do with the fact that they can talk. It's just, okay, hey, Dolphin, you want to put this bomb on your back? And it doesn't matter that they can talk or not, because the one that delivers the bomb can't even talk. So I really like that aspect of the film, that it's linguistics, but I wish they would have thought of a way to actually think of a way to use talking.
Actually, I think they did talk to each other. Like, they did not Fa'alabah, but they did. There was a squeaking between the two of them. So I think.
But just the humans. I wish the humans could have used their talking to a better villainous plot than just being like, oh, because all dolphins are smart. Apparently, any dolphin, even ones that don't talk, could have done this bombing thing. So yeah. I just thought that was a plot hole for me, even though I enjoyed it.
It worked for the heroes though, because Alpha got to talk to Pa to let Pa know what was going on. And,
oh, that's true.
And George C. Scott was the one who told him, no, make sure B doesn't stop B. Don't let B do this.
Okay.
So talking worked in that way.
Okay. Kind of like a Lassie thing. Okay. I got it. Yeah. I see what you mean. All right. You won me back over on it, Doug.
Nice. Nice. But I'll be honest. I picked this movie because a new biography just came out about Mike Nichols. And lots of movie podcasts that I listened to were talking about Mike Nichols. And I looked up his filmography. I'd seen a few of his films, you know, The Graduate, Birdcage, Catch 22, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. And then I see, wait, what's this movie, Day of the Dolphin? Sounds like Day of the Jackal. Is it a spy thing? So I look up what it's about. Sort of a spy thing, but dolphins are going to assassinate the president? I have to see this film. So I went out and got a copy on Blu-ray, and I was just blown away by how insane this movie is. Just when the dolphins started talking, I lost it, and I just fell in love with this movie because George C. Scott, he's a brilliant actor, and he's talking with dolphins, and the dolphins are talking back to him. And there is nothing better than that. And also, Paul Sorvino. He plays this creepy dude. And then all of a sudden at the end, he's one of the good guys for some reason. This movie is just insane on so many levels. But I have to recommend it because of the insanity. And everybody is taking it so seriously. And it's a really fun watch.
Okay, let's start right there. George C. Scott, 100% on board. Love George C. Scott. No issues. Why is this film not mentioned? Because it's boring. Nothing interesting happens. I think, Dougie, you did some gummies before you watched this or smoked something or got really wrecked on 14 beers. I don't see what you see in this film. I really don't. I tried hard. And I do agree. I thought Paul Sorvino was the bad guy at some point. This evil master plan was going, nope. I'm just like, I felt like I was watching Terror Train all over again. Or David, I'm like, I think Doug just goes, so I'm just going to hate this. I'm going to put this on the list. I really think you were thinking that. Yep. I love George C. Scott. I like Mike Nichols. I don't think the film was badly directed. I just don't know what the point of the film was. You say it's not mentioned, I realize. It's bland. It's kind of dumb. Dolphins save the day. They can't find the I'm like, I give up. I just don't care. I just want this to go somewhere. And really, it doesn't go anywhere until the last 20 minutes.
Fair.
Like, I wanted more. I just sit on this compound. I'm like, his wife is a terrible actress. She was driving me nuts.
I think they were married in real life at the time, too.
Oh, well, okay. I'm not saying she was ugly. I'm just saying she can't act. Absolutely terrible actress. Just bland. I thought this film was bland.
He left his previous wife to marry her.
Bland. Pardon, Bob?
He left his previous wife to marry her.
Oh, there you go. Bob, look at that. Intern's done his homework. Good work, intern. So, not for me. But if you got to be a Mike Nichol completist, you got to watch it. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah, and it's just,
so did anybody buy anything, finish any video games?
I was just going to...
Like, I was just going to... This time?
So I was just going to add on that it's just interesting to me that, like, this is his fifth film, and, like, the first four have at least, like, they're popular, and then this one's, like, oh, 2,500 votes on IMDb. So it's just interesting that it slipped through the cracks.
Well, but, I'm not sure George C. Scott, other than Patton, is well-liked.
Yeah, Mike Nichols is. As a director.
The Changeling.
Mike Nichols is.
The Changeling, Dr. Strangelove.
Patton.
He's well-loved. Charlie
Wilson's War, Closer.
I think around two.
Has anybody seen this film called Wit? Where are, what planet are you from? Primary Colors?
No.
I've seen Primary
Colors. Oh, my God. He did Regarding Henry. I have seen, I've seen a ton of the postcards. He did a lot of great films.
Is this Mike Nichols or the actor?
No, the thing, I'm looking at this. So, back to my point. Did anybody buy any, finish any video games, anything before we go? Got anything for me?
Kevin?
Did anybody buy anything?
That's
I did.
What did you buy?
I got a New Jack City on Blu-ray.
Nice.
I haven't seen that in years. It was like $5.
Ice-T's movie debut.
Before you go on, you're welcome to. Where do you buy your stuff from, for listeners?
Generally, Best Buy, Target, Amazon, wherever I find cheap stuff.
Because now you're immune to the virus. You can go outside.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have you gone to Target to buy stuff?
Yeah, but not Blu-rays.
Okay.
You guys still have to wear a mask down there?
We don't have to, but I still do because
we were told after you get the second shot, which I haven't yet, because that you still have to wear your mask no matter.
Yeah,
because not everybody's getting it.
I still have a son at home who's not fully vaccinated yet, so I still wear a mask everywhere. But I also got Michael Clayton, Oscar-winning film I've never seen, so I thought I'd.
It's good.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
I don't.
I liked it.
Wow.
And then finally, a new movie called Happily. I just really like the cast in this film. Joel McHale, Paul Scheer, Shannon Woodward, and I'm sure there's other people in there.
I haven't seen it.
It's brand new. I think it just came out a month ago.
I bought one movie, one digital movie. I don't know if you can see it. I bought The Tropic of Cancer, which I had an old DVD copy of, so now I have a digital copy. It's an adaptation of a Henry Miller novel, famous Henry Miller novel. It stars Rip Torn. And I don't know if we've reviewed it or not.
I'm not sure if I've ever seen it. I think I've read about it, and I haven't seen it.
It's let's say it's not that politically correct. It's basically about it's about Henry Miller himself living in Paris, and it's set, looks like it's set in the 70s, but the movie
itself, I just watched it the other day. Yes, I did see this film.
They say the word the C word a lot.
Yes, is that the one? They're gigolos.
They're kind of writers, but they're basically in France looking to get drunk and screw a lot of women.
You know what's funny? I just watched this 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah? All right.
Well, I've been on my list forever. I finally watched it.
Look what's going to be added to my list down the line.
I have seen it. 2 weeks ago, I watched it.
Nice. Nothing else to buy. I did buy the whole Bewitched series.
How far are you? I'm still on season one.
I'm on episode 54 of 254. So... and you were talking about going back to revisiting something that you skipped. I never watched the final season of Sopranos.
What?
So I'm down to episode. I'm on episode 16 of 21.
Oh my God! I love that final season.
Yeah, I must have seen the first part of it, but not the last few episodes, because I'm now on new territory for me.
Okay. I did finish NBA Street 2. I'm kind of stuck in Resident Evil 4.
Is that PS1 or PS2?
PS2. I don't have a PS1. I have PS3 now, but we'll get there eventually. I will probably be restarting Resident Evil 4. Hopefully I'll be done by the next time we think, but we'll see. Because I seem to run out of bullets, so I'm going to have to restart at the beginning. And hopefully I can save some more bullets. I guess that's it, unless Daniel has something I missed. I don't want to skip him. Well, that's it. If they make it.
Simon still has to watch Host.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.